Hello, welcome back to this week's episode of Hustle Culture Dropout. I am your host, Chastity Campbell, and I am here with expert cookie designer and baker extraordinaire, Chelsea Percelli of Sweet Pea Custom Cookies. And it's like Sweet Pea Custom Cookies, but I feel like you do so much more than cookies now. Like when you started, it was just cookies, but now it's evolved full on bakery, cakes and cake pops and all of the things. So Chelsea is a self-taught baker and decorator. She's serving San Antonio and the surrounding area. And she started out as a full-time teacher and then just to take a leap into her own business about 6 years ago. She also is married and recent empty nester and a stepmom and dog mom. And she also does fantastic little DIY projects around her home. And I literally still want to paint the frame of my windows black because I remember you doing that a couple of years ago. And I'm like, this is so great and brilliant. So welcome to the podcast, Chelsea.
Hello. Happy to be here.
I am so glad to have you here.
That was such a nice intro.
Well, you know, I try to say nice things about all the people that agree to come on here and, you know, talk about themselves. So like, might as well make you feel welcomed, right? So tell me in your words about your business and just how you got started. I feel like when you started doing this, you were one of the first people I think in the area that I like paid attention to in terms of doing custom cookies and the types of designs that you did. I mean, I feel like I saw like a lot of people doing cake pops or different, like there were like home bakers that were doing things, but I feel like the level of cookies that you were doing kind of like blew me away in terms of the artistic talent that was behind that. So how did you like get started with that? Have you always been a baker and you just decided, or how did that like naturally progress?
Well, I always have loved baking just as a hobby. It's just like one of those things that I think like on a boring weekend, like that's what I would want to do to bring me joy. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is just, I like to cook too. And I think part of that is like the joy of feeding people and like watching people enjoy something that you worked so hard on and like pouring your heart into it. Like there's something about that that I've always loved. A lot of people are like, oh, I hate cooking. I'm like, I enjoy it to like wind down at the end of the day. I'm weird like that, I guess. But anyway, so baking has also been like something I've always loved. And my mom actually, when we were little, we lived in Georgia and she was going to nursing school and she worked at this little restaurant. And she was the dessert person. She was the baker. And so we would go in like they were closed on Mondays and we would go in there with her like after school and hang out and like do our homework and mess around. And she would bake for the week. And so I guess it's like in the blood kind of too.
Yeah.
It's in, you know, my family. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it was like one of those, it was 2016. It was one of those like boring weekends where I was trying to find something to like, you know, some little thing to do here or there. And I was scrolling, of course, on, I think, Facebook at the time. I don't think I had Instagram. I don't even know if Instagram was around in 2016, was it?
Yeah, I don't even know. I have no idea. Like, I don't know how long those have been around.
So I was scrolling and I saw like a cookie decorating video. And of course, like famous last words, like, oh, how hard could that be? So right. I tried it and it was, I mean, I've talked about this a lot and I've posted my very first cookies I ever did. I posted them on my Instagram before. It was hard. It was, you know, those are famous last words. It was not easy, but it was fun. And I was like, well, okay, I just have to keep doing it. Let me try again. And then soon enough, one of my best friends was having a baby shower and she's like, we'll make some cookies for it. Okay, sure. So, and again, like they were not pretty. Like I look at them now and I'm like, oh my gosh, those were like horrendous looking. But at the time I was very proud of them. And from there I got my first paid order. Like somebody was like, can I pay you to like make cookies? I think it was a birthday party or something. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I just was like, well, okay, sure. You know?
Yeah.
And I took that first order and then I was like, well, I guess I should try this just to see what happens. Like as a little side hustle. I made a Facebook page, like, and then I just kind of, it started going from there, like slowly, very slowly, but to be where I'm at now today.
Right.
It's pretty crazy. And to look back to, like I said, at like Like, I look back at my first orders and I'm like, I cannot believe people paid me for that. Like, I'm almost like, want to go give their money back retroactively because it looks so awful to me now, you know. But everybody has to start somewhere, right? And I think I've learned that. Like, you don't have to be great to start. You just have to start to get to be eventually. And you're never going to be like 100%. I feel like there's always room to grow. But
yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I think one of the things, like, as small business owners and a lot of people that I talk to, is that it's really hard sometimes to not get sucked into that cycle of looking at where everybody else is in their business and think that you need to be so much further along and why aren't you there, or comparing, you know, where you are in business. I feel like for a business like yours, that's a creative business. You're creating something that requires talent. Like, and so then I feel like that even makes, like, the comparison trap a little easier to fall into. So did you do a lot of that? Did you struggle a little bit with that at all, or feeling like, yeah, I don't know if I could do this? Or were you always confident enough that it was, you were just going to have to practice to, like, get there?
Oh, I for sure struggled with that. I still do sometimes. Like you said, comparing yourself, like, comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And I have to, like, I think it's important that you know, like, when to follow people that are, like, in your field, like, could be mentors for you, or, like, you admire what they're doing. It's great to follow them. There's so much out there, but there has to be a point where, like, I have to give myself a mental break from that sometimes, because I start going down that, like, spiral of, oh my gosh, well, why am I not this good? Or why am I not, why do I not have this many followers? Or why am I not this or that? You know, I mean, it's a spiral, but for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I have felt that. And I learned what imposter syndrome is by being, you know, by having a business, because it's legit, it's real. It's a real thing that I think that probably literally every business owner is going to experience at some point in their you know, time or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, absolutely. Did you, once you started, how long was that period of time from, like, when you first had those first couple orders that maybe were paid orders that you were like, hey, I could potentially do this full time? Because you were a teacher. And so that's obviously a very, I mean, that's like a rock solid, like, career. Like, the teachers aren't go, I mean, I don't know, teachers might be going away sometime in the future here with the state that education's in nowadays. But I mean, for the most, you're going to always need teachers, and just a very dependable job. Yeah, it's very safe. Exactly. And so at what point were you like, hey, I might want to give this a go? What was that process like for you?
That's tricky. I mean, I don't think that there was, like, a moment. I think it was just kind of like, when I started teaching, like, I felt like in my gut, in my head, in my heart, like, I kind of knew, like, that was not going to be what I retired doing. Mm-hmm. It served its purpose to be a job at the time. And I did really love it. I loved the kids. I loved the people I worked with, most of the people I worked with. But I just, there's something, like, in my gut that told me, like, this is not your forever career. Like, I don't see myself retiring as a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I guess I had that in the back of my mind, but it's like, well, what else do I do? Like, where else do I go? You know? And then I think just by chance, like, I started this as a side hustle, like a little side business, and it kind of started, you know, the ball started rolling with it. And I think it got to the point, I remember the point where I was, like, turning things down because I couldn't do both. Like, I couldn't juggle both teaching and this business and have a lifestyle that I enjoyed, you know?
Right.
I think that was the point where I was kind of like, okay, can I do this? You know, can I make this leap? And of course, like, I had to discuss it with my husband too, that he was comfortable. Right. 'Cause even then, making that leap, like, I still wasn't, that was going to be a very big, like, income difference,
right, so
I guess, like, when he kind of gave me the go ahead, like, okay, I think we could do this, he was changing jobs too at the time, actually. That was 2018. So mm-hmm. I started in 2016. I quit teaching in the spring semester of 2018, or I mean, mm-hmm. I finished out the spring semester. So that was the amount of time it took, like, just doing it on the side and kind of juggling and kind of, you know, spinning a lot of plates in the air. And then when he was like, okay, let's give it a go. He was also switching jobs and he was going to be gone a lot more. So it, like, made more sense for me to kind of be working from home just to kind of help with that all that right. stuff, you know?
Right. Because the boys were home, obviously. The boys were still, at home.
I think they were in like freshman year or sophomore year or something, but they were in sports. Like, so it was crazy, like, you know, driving them, dropping them off, practice here and there. We had them at the time, like 50% of the time. So it just, all of that kind of fell into place to make sense for that to be a good transition. But even then, I mean, it was scary when I first well, after the summer, right? When everyone else was going back to work and back to school, I was like, well, this is kind of nice. And then it was like, well, this is kind of scary. Like, what did I do? Did I do the right thing? Like, questioning myself.
Right. And how did you like, how did you like kind of push through that? Because I told somebody else this the other day, I feel like starting a business, even if you're not starting a business, obviously a lot of the people that I talk to on the podcast are small business owners, just because that's what I know and that's what I'm connected to. But even if you're transitioning from one career to another, which is very common because very rarely do you go to college and like pick a major and then ride that ship right into the sunset. A lot of times you end up either completely like shifting gears or leaving to go into a different industry. And that can all be super scary. Start to maybe doubt yourself. Like, is this a good decision? How did you work through that? Did you just kind of have to keep this mindset of we'll see, you know, what happens? What helped you just keep going forward with that and get through that self-doubt?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I knew in the back of my head, like, I can always go back if I need to teaching, like, I can always do that. But I think you just have to keep pushing forward and like trust. I know people say all the time, like, trust the process. I don't even know that I trusted any process, but I think it was just like, if I could look back now and know what I know, like, hindsight's 2020, if I could know what I know now, if I could know that it would have grown into what it has grown into now, I would have gone back and like just hugged myself and been like, just be patient, like, just give it time, like, you're okay, stop panicking, stop having these like, you know, anxious thoughts, and kind of enjoy this, because that is one thing that I miss, that of course, like, the newness goes away eventually and you get, that's good because you're not scared anymore, but there was something like magical about that first year that I quit. I don't know how to explain it. It was just something that was really cool and new and like exciting too. It's scary, but it's also exciting. And I don't know, there was just this like feeling that I wish that I could have bottled up, like the good part of it, right? Not the scary, anxious stuff, but the good part. I wish I could have bottled that up. And I wish sometimes now that I could still feel it, but I would just go back and say like, enjoy this time, enjoy this transition, and just trust it that it's going to grow, because it has grown already, right? To the point where you at least said, okay, now I'm turning stuff down. So it's going to keep growing. Just trust it.
Yeah. So I guess 2018, when you started doing it full time, so that's been like 6 years, right? And I mean, you said it's like a slow process, which I think is another huge lesson that you learn in entrepreneurship or owning a small business, is that you have to have the patience. Like, you have to have the patience. And so many small businesses fail because people, like, you get into year two or year three. I think year three is really hard because you're like that magic newness that you're talking about, that it, I think, is like something, like, you're excited about it. It's something new. You know, it's like, you know, like dating somebody new and you're figuring all the things out and how, like, how it's going to work, and you can
honeymoon
see the vision. Yeah. You can see like the future and what it's going to look like. And then like by year three, you're like, oh my gosh, like, this is really hard. And all of that newness isn't there anymore. And maybe the payoff isn't as big as you want it to be because you're still sort of growing into that. And I think that a lot of people kind of give up at that point. So have you ever had that experience? Like, have you ever gotten, like, once you sort of got past that honeymoon phase, did you get to a point where you were like, I don't know if this is for me anymore. Like, I don't know. And then what did you do to like kind of push through that? Like, you know, get through that part of it.
I don't know that I've experienced like, this is not for me anymore. But I do feel like I've had to figure out, if I'm going to continue to do this, I have to figure out how to manage this better and how to balance this better, and how to, like, I mean, it, I guess it was a good problem to have, but I was like to the point where I was overbooking myself and miserable And then I wasn't finding the joy in it anymore. And I mean, I know work is work is work, right? Like, you're not going to love every part of every bit of it all day long.
Right.
But I was just to the point where I was like feeling burned out, of course, you know, overworked, burned out. I felt like I need better systems in place. I need better boundaries in place. I need to learn how to say no to people and not just take a sale to make a sale, you know,
right,
like, 'cause then that's, I'm just going to be depleted. And like you said, my job is creative. Like, it's very, it's full of being creative. And if you're tapped out of that, then it's not fun to decorate cookies, you know, like, you need to, like, you can't just like juice up some creativity in your mind out of nowhere. You know, you kind of have to do the things like you talk about with self-care to, to make yourself the best version of whoever it is that you are. So I've definitely had those moments, but I think with time I've realized boundaries and mostly just not taking on too many orders in a week, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, like I said, that's a good problem to have, but it's also really hard, you know, as a small business owner to say no to a sale.
Right.
So
absolutely. I think, I mean, you and I have talked about it before too, in terms of balance, like it's really hard. Like it's really hard anyway, in any point of life, when you have a career and you have kids or you are taking care of your family or whatever it is, to find that balance. And I think everybody runs into that. But I also think, as when you are a small business owner, that you don't get to leave at the end of the day and like leave the office. Like, the office is typically your home. And so it's so easy just to like keep working, or, you know, like taking on more things because you think, you know, you're like, well, especially I think it's natural to want to feel like you have to do that, especially in the beginning, because you're like, okay, well, I'm trying to build this or whatever. But ultimately you end up in this space of maybe not even enjoying, like you said, like not enjoying the process or being burnt out where you don't feel creative anymore. When my kids were younger and I had my photography business, like eventually it just got to the point where I didn't like any of the process whatsoever, because I felt like I was doing it all the time. And I kept taking on clients because I thought that's what I needed to do, right? To like build the business. Like, I needed to just keep saying yes to people. And it just got to the point where I just like walked away from that because I literally hated. And I think finding that balance is really hard to do. But I know you've worked really hard on having those boundaries and saying no and standing up for yourself if people are kind of trying to take advantage, because that's another thing when you're a small business person. People love to think like, you know, oh, well, you can like cut me this deal, or you can like do this extra thing for me.
Exposure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so that also is really hard to like, when you transitioned from teaching, you were doing the business full time. How was it for you in terms of relationships? Because, you know, most other jobs or whatever, it's like you have work friends or you have relationships that you've built. And then when you go in, when you, you know, you leave or you start doing something on your own, especially when you're running a business on your own, you like, how do you stay connected to those people? Like, how, because it can get really lonely.
It is. Yeah. People ask me all the time, do you miss teaching? And my short answer is no. Mm-hmm. But my long answer is I do. I mean, I miss my kids. Like, because I had small special ed classes, I miss those kids so much. And I miss my coworkers. I miss having coworkers. I miss like gossiping with coworkers, you know, and just that, like, social part of it. But I have lived in San Antonio for a really long time. I went to middle school here, high school here, college here. So I am very lucky that I have a really good network of friends that I've had for a really, really long time. And so I try to stay connected with them. I mean, it's not hard with them because we try to get together like at least once a month or whatever, once every couple weeks. But I mean, it's also work to stay connected to the people that I wanted to, you know, just like from school or whatever. Like, you and I were teaching at the same school or working at the same school. And I think You just have to like find time. Like when I say the balance and the boundaries and everything, like I literally write out my schedule at the beginning of the week on Mondays. And if I have dedicated a plan to some making plans with somebody or going to happy hour or dinner with somebody, like I make sure to put that down. Like I write that down first in my schedule. And mm-hmm. I kind of like build around that to make sure that I still have the time to do those things because I need them. Like I need to get out of the house and put on real clothes and, you know, put on some makeup. My husband is a poor guy. Like he sees me 99% of the time, like a, you know, troll under the bridge. But I think that's important. And I look forward to that stuff, you know, so I make it a point to put that as part of my schedule, you know?
Yeah. I love that you said that you put that first and then you build everything around that, because I think that is so important, because so many times I hear people talking about like, I don't have time. Like, how do you find time to go to Pilates? Or how do you find time to go to happy hour with your friends? Or I don't have time. Like I have all of these other things going on. And the fact is that what's happening is like, you're building your entire schedule out, however you do that in your mind or on, you know, if you're doing digital or paper calendar or whatever, you're writing down all these activities that you have to do. And then you're looking at that and it's all filled up, and then you're like, well, where am I going to stick this in? Instead of doing mm-hmm. it, like you said, doing it first. You know, I know this month it's Chelsea's birthday and we're going to go out. So I'm going to make the plan so I can put it down. And then I know like that week I can't do 47 cookie orders or whatever it is. Like you just have to be able to like schedule that first. That's awesome that you do that, because I think scheduling time and connecting with people and having that time outside of work or your family or whatever, and having that time for you, obviously I'm a huge advocate for that. You're not going mm-hmm. to have the time unless you schedule the time in and you make the time. So
for sure.
Having like your own business just can be super isolating and lonely when you like lose those connections. And so I think like that's, you know, awesome that you still take the time to schedule that in. You have to like just like make it a priority to be, you know, able to do that. I know.
Yeah. And with that said, like I think also the working out part, I think it's important to make time for that too. And I do that too when I'm planning out my schedule. Like I do Pilates, so I go to like have to sign up for a class. Like I can't just mm-hmm. show up. I have to sign up, and if the class is full, the class is full. So that's part of like kind of my Monday. My Monday is like my like get your shit together, basically day. Where I am planning out my week and I'm, you know, organizing everything. And oh, earbud just fell out. Sorry.
You're good.
Anyway, so it's my day where I like plan everything out. But that's one of the things that I do when I'm planning my schedule is also like go in and sign up for my classes and get that all. Because I feel like if you don't do that, it's very easy to, you're not going to do it the rest of the week.
Right.
You're not going to get up on Tuesday morning and like go on and sign up for the class. Cause I, like, I'm just a schedule person too. So like, I need to know that it was all planned out. This is my day. This is my week. But I haven't always done that either. And I feel like when I like let that kind of thing slip to the wayside and I'm not taking care of myself and my health, then spirals into other things too. So,
right.
I mean, it's just another one of those, like you said, those self-care things that's what that looks like for me, is like taking that time to take care of myself.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, I can't imagine, like, I don't know how people do it literally when they are so sucked into like this, like, idea of having to like go nonstop. Like I'm just, that's not like my personality anyway to begin with, but I know it can be, I know it can be easy. Like if I'm in the thick of like doing a launch or like, you know, like when I was wholesaling candles and I'm trying to like create this huge order, like there are just times when obviously like it's just going to be a busier time. Like it's just going to be a busier mm-hmm. time. I know like you have a giant cookie order coming up in a couple weeks or whatever. And so like, you know, that is going to be a super busy time. So maybe it wouldn't be the best time to like be like, yeah, I'm going to go like, where I'm going to take 2 days off and go, like that would just like stress me out or whatever. Right. But
for sure.
I think that the constant go, go, go mentality and not taking time to schedule anything in, honestly, is sort of also like a boundary thing. Like that's just a boundary thing with yourself. Like you're having to mm-hmm. be able to say like, I won't work after like this time during the day, or I'm not taking on any more orders this week because it's, you know, our anniversary, or the kids have things. And I mean, that's another thing, like your kids were like really involved when they were, you know, like in high school and everything. And so were you able, like with your business, were you able to kind of like make that work? Like, how did you find the balance of being able to like show up at their games and like their events and stuff? And then like, did you feel, if you had to turn down orders or if you had to not do something during that time, like, did you feel bad about that? Like, did you feel guilty about it?
No. And I think like the timing for me switching over to like doing it full time and the kids being, I think they were 10th, 11th, 12th grade all through there. It was kind of a blessing to be a little bit slower at first, because then I did have more flexibility. And then it got to the point, and you know, too, like with kids in high school where you're like, oh my gosh, it's going so fast. Like,
yeah.
I can't believe like this is almost over. And so like that was always just a priority to me. Like it was like a thing I would put on my schedule, like that this is a non-negotiable. I'm mm-hmm. not going to miss this because I'm not always going to get to go see these things, you know?
Right.
So I think that just the scheduling thing, like those were just non-negotiables. And I think everybody has what theirs are.
Right.
And I will say too, like, I feel like I wouldn't know how somebody would do this. And I'm sure I know they do. I know there's plenty of cookieers out there that have little kids, but I'm like, I don't know how they do it, because I was blessed enough that the kids were older and we had them at our house half the time. And then half the time they went back to their moms. And so it wasn't like a crazy, like those were usually the days that they went back to their moms. I was like a maniac working, because I knew I didn't have anybody else to like feed or do laundry for or whatever, or look after. But them being a little bit older and just being slow at first, you know, like that first year or whatever, like those two things were kind of blessings for me. So I don't know if I have good advice for that if you have little kids, because that's got to be hard.
No,
and
I know.
Full time too, like all the time, you know, I don't know how people do it.
Yeah, no, I know. I feel like that a lot of times too, whenever I'm sort of like preaching this, like, take care of yourself and, you know, make the time. And I'm like, I always feel like people are like, oh, well, easy for you to say, like your kids are like grown, or like, you know, like, I mean, same thing, like we have a blended family situation as well. So there are times when they're just like not here. And even when they are here, especially the older ones, like they're either with their friends or, you know, Parker's working or whatever. So sometimes it, you know, you can kind of forget like what it was like to be in the thick of that when they were so young. So I have like, yeah, like shout out to all the people who are literally doing this or trying to like build their businesses like while their kid is like taking a nap, or because I don't even know, like I can't even fathom the nonsense of that. I mean, when I was doing like my photography business, that was part of the burnout too, because I literally was trying to like edit photos during the time when Parker was taking a nap and the other two kids were at school. And that, and ultimately why I walked away from that as well is because, as you know, like sometimes like there's also work that gets done on the weekends, and there were also kids activities that took place on the weekends. And I just started missing like so much of that I was like, mm-hmm. this is not serving this purpose anymore. Like the purpose of me to be able to have this was so I could have the flexibility to do more. And now I'm just working more all of the time, because now I'm taking care of the kids and I'm doing all of their stuff and I'm working late at night, and now I'm tired and I'm working on the weekends. And then that just like leads to this like complete like an utter nonsense. So I mean, definitely a blessing to be able to.
I think too, like it's important to remember your, like people always talk about like know your why. And why you started this business, and remember your why. And I think that for me at least, and I'm sure for a lot of small business owners that decide to go do it full time, because it's not easy, but remember your why. And that was one of mine too. Like I want to be able to have control over what I'm doing and not be under, not necessarily like under someone's thumb, because I don't know that I felt that way as a teacher, but like someone else is making the rules and I have to follow them. Right. And someone else is making the schedule and I have to follow that schedule. So that was one of my whys, is that I wanted the freedom and the flexibility to be able to do certain things and not have to follow somebody else's structure, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that I still have to remind myself of that, like on the hard days where, you know, I'm literally like a one woman show that does all of the things. And sometimes mm-hmm. that can be like, oh, why do I do this? Like, why do I do this mm-hmm. business? Like, it's so hard. I'm so tired. Like, I'm not getting paid for all of these jobs. When I really break it down, right. I probably make like $1 an hour, but you know, from what I make to what I, how many hours I work. But that, like, I remember that too. That's my why. My why is that I do get to like decide my schedule, decide mm-hmm. when I want to take off. I don't have to go and put a request in for time off. Like, I can just right. block my calendar off, and you know, I have freedom to do certain things that I wouldn't have had if I wasn't owning my own business. So right. I think it's really yeah. important to remember. And your why is probably like a few different whys. It's not yeah. just one, but that's one of them for me, is having that freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think that you're right. Like, just kind of like going back to you saying like the amount of time and all of the jobs that you put in, because yes, I mean, like, you have a small business, so you have to do accounting, and you're doing marketing, and you're doing deliveries, and you're decorating the cookies, and you're baking the cookies, and you know, you're having customer, you know, you have customer service, and you're having conversations with people, and you're coming up with these ideas. Like, there's so many aspects of a small business, and when you're the only person that's doing it, and you start to break it down. But I think that's a great thing to say, like, what is my why? Because if you are like, oh, I want to do this solely to like get rich, like, you're going to have a really hard time sticking out the first few years of your business, right? Because like, that's mm-hmm. just not. So sort of thinking to yourself like, yeah, a bigger thing, a bigger payoff for me, rather than like making X amount of dollars, is that I have the freedom, or I have mm-hmm. the flexibility. And I mean, which I think, like, even working in education, I mean, that's like, that's the reason I've stayed in education for so long, because not because I'm getting rich off of this, obviously, but because I have breaks at the same time my kids have breaks, and it, like, I get to see my kids so much more and whatever. And so it's sort of like redefining success, like it's not all about like how much money goes into the bank at the end of the day. Like, it's also sure. about like the other things that are not monetary, and like time freedom. Like, obviously that's a huge sure. thing I hear people say all the time. When it comes down to it, like, you are always going to be able to make money somehow. It might not be the way that you want to make money, but you always have a way to make money. Like, so, like, if you needed to go back to teaching or whatever, like mm-hmm. if everything bottomed out tomorrow, but you're never, ever going to be able to get that time back. Like, that time is going to be, it's non-renewable. Like, it is a non-renewable resource, but money is always going to renew itself. I mean, at, you know, it just might not look the way you want it to look, but you can get it back. Right. And so
I love that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I think about all the time is, for me, like, what does actually success look like? Like, and success for me very much is having time freedom and having the mm-hmm. ability to like take care of myself. Like, if I know I'm going to Pilates every single Monday, having the ability to do that, and know, like, I mean, I think a lot of jobs have a lot of flexibility, but I also know, like, sometimes when you are out, like, that affects other people. Like, you might not have to ask for permission, or you might not have to worry about how many days you take off, but when you're gone, that can also impact other people. And when you don't have to worry about that, it's also like a huge weight off your shoulders to be like, well, the only person that I'm messing up is myself if I don't do this, right. or if I do this, right? Yeah. So I think that that's like one of the best things too about it. But I love that you said that, you know, when you actually get down to like doing your hourly wage, being like, well,
I mean, maybe. I don't, because that would be depressing. I've never really broken it down, because I think I don't think I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I want to know.
Absolutely. Well, tell everybody where they can find you online. Obviously, you serve San Antonio and surrounding areas, but for anybody who wants to follow along, and where can they find you?
Yeah, so I have Facebook and Instagram. My Instagram is sweet_p_custom_cookies. Mm-hmm. I think that's it, at instagram.com, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Facebook is Sweet Percelli. It's my last name, S-W-E-E-T-P-U-R-I-C-E-L-L-I. And from there, like, you can just browse, or if you are interested in filling out a quote request to see if I have availability and kind of like to get some pricing, you can click inside either one of those pages and it'll take you to my website.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Chelsea, so much for being here this week. I appreciate it. I know that you and I have talked about this before, but when I was first starting the candles a few years ago, you were like such a huge just like asset to have kind of like in my pocket whenever I would be like, what the fuck is this about? Like, I don't know about this, or I don't know how to do this, or where do I find this, or how to, like, you were so good at sharing like the information. And it was so nice to know that somebody else had like gone through that. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on. Obviously, like, we're friends, but I wanted to have you on because I think so many times people just think like, I'm in this career, I'm a teacher, or I'm this and that and the other, but I would like to do something else. But I don't know how to start. I don't know where to start. I don't know if I can do it. It's scary. And I just love being able to like share stories like yours to inspire other people and be like, oh yeah, like, she totally did it. And she said it was crazy and it was scary and she questioned it the whole time, but you did it, you know, and here you are like 6 years later, still doing it and absolutely like killing it because you are like there. I remember like when I would first order cookies from you and you did our wedding cake and you've done like, you did Brooklyn's graduation cake and we've had cookies, like all sorts of cookies from you through the years. But I remember like at a time when I felt like I very much could just like shoot you a text and like have some cookies in like a day or something. And that is like not the case anymore. Like, I'm always like, no, Chelsea, I have to like book Chelsea out like months in advance to be able to like get on the calendar. So I think that's awesome. So thank you so much for sharing your story. And I appreciate it so much. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's it for this episode of Hustle Culture Dropout. I'm your host and real life bestie, Chastity Campbell. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review if you loved it. Don't even bother if it's anything less than 5 stars. You can also follow me on socials at Chastity Campbell Co. or check out the website at chastitycampbell.com. Until next time, here's to living our most radically authentic and unapologetic lives. Thanks for listening.